Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me here on KWAI 1080 AM on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 AM. We will discuss local and national government issues, environmental issues, and some lighthearted subjects. So please join me on Sunday at 8 AM to 9 AM here on KWAI.
You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
And good morning. Welcome to The Carol Cox Show. I'm happy to be back another day here and talking to all my friends and those that listen frequently and the newcomers. And I want to thank all of you. I'm getting a lot of referrals. People are saying they're listening to the show because friends are referring them, or acquaintances, or what have you. And I'm pretty proud of that. What is really nice is that at the current pace, we will hit this year, if we keep this pace up, we will hit 500,000 downloads on the internet, on our website, this year alone. So there is a voice out there, and I hope that each and every one of you are eager to participate. While I won't have all answers, and a lot of it is opinions, but it is a stimuli or hopefully a catalyst for good things to come, and to say to people, we can get out of the cesspool of the political quagmire and talk about the things that benefit us and talk about the power that we have. It's not much, but if we put it together collectively, we'd be an awesome force. But anyway, as usual, I like to reward people with good people with good things. And I just came up on a young man who has a company here. And, you know, these are hard times financially and with the gas prices and all. But I have a young man who is actually running a business, and he is absolutely, I'm told, one of the best in the business. And that business or that service that he provides, people are happy. And that is in detailing cars and maintenance and what have you. And I wanted to, because he's a good person, and this isn't a paid commercial, and I wanted to share with you folks what good young men are doing out there. We're not all bad. Well, I can't say that I'm a young man anymore. I'll be hitting over the hill in the next couple of days, actually. But it's okay. I'm not mad. But Ron Alec is his name. And Ron, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, tell the listeners about your company and what do you do and how do they find you and all those good things.
Well, this company is my personal company, Ron's Detailing. Mm-hmm. We've been in business from 2001. I am located off Ualena near the airport. Contact number is 499-5183. Pretty much I specialize in anything that's regarding to detailing, high-speed buffing, interior shampoo, leather vinyl, reconditioning, water spot removal, show cars, you know, big investments, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Help your second biggest investment in life.
And you have a team of a couple of people working with you, right?
This Correct.
And this is a fixed location, too.
Yes.
And where is that located again?
3006 Ualena, mm-hmm. right near the airport.
And let me ask you this, and I have a big problem with it. What about water stains on windows?
Maintenance is the key. Stay away from those sprinkler system. Careful what kind of products you're using up on the glass. A lot of them got abrasives and harsh chemicals like acid. And yeah, so mm-hmm. not much you can do but just maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to know that we like birds, so what do you do for birds? How do we take sometimes the berries, the bulbuls, for example, go? Do you, what do you suggest a person do to take care of that, or are you able to handle that when you get stains such as that?
Bird droppings, berries, anything, any kind of acid content. So long you maintain, and frequent waxing here in Hawaii is highly recommended. You want to keep that wax on a thick side. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks there's such a thing as over waxing, not in Hawaii. That wax, due to the fog, salt, rain, will thrash the finish really quick.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stay on top of that waxing for your vehicle and whatnot. So those berries and bird droppings, when they do come about, it won't stain or etch it as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be a biggest.
Okay. And again, your phone number?
499-5183.
Mm-hmm. And you're located again?
Ualena.
Ualena, and where exactly is that?
So if you come off Lagoon Drive, it'll be your second right turn
mm-hmm.
where the Shell station's at. Go down about halfway down the street. On the right side, we're directly across the Royal Hawaiian Movers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Ron, I just want to at least extend a hand there. We don't do much advertising here, but when good people, you stumble on good people and you are a good person, and I would say the public should be proud. They don't know you, but you're a good person, not according to my standards, because then you'd probably be a bad person. But you are a good person, and we need more of you in the community. So thank you, and I'll call you on occasion and have you to come back and let us know what you're doing and how we can get in touch. Now, you do fleets?
We do fleets, personals. It don't matter. People with any kind of company vehicles. We've been having a lot of referrals, Channel 8, EMS, Royal Hawaiian, Acura of Honolulu, Automart. We've been having a lot of vehicles, Kia. So the more the merrier would be great. Yeah.
Okay. And do you do pickups or you go on scene?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of pickup, drop-off, but also supplying customers with free shuttle. I've gone all the way up to Kahulu, Kaneohe, Wahewa, Eva. From our location, so you know, if they provide us with a business,
and you are
on my end, I can help them out with the shuttle. Okay. It's not a problem.
Okay, well, thank you, and it's a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, thanks, Carol.
Aloha.
Take care.
Well, that's reaching out into a good deed. I don't know how some of you. It might be a commercial to some of you, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And anyway, today, I wanted to talk about many of things that just been nibbling at me, and they are things that we've worked on and we've talked about on the show here before. And one of them will be the landfill, but it's a different twist. And I want to bring to light and demonstrate by example, a living example. You know, we with the radio or the microphone can just get to ranting, and we can lose our senses, and when you ask, well, what facts do you have to back that up? We wouldn't know, right? So find it difficult to share with you and give you specific examples. But today on the landfill, I'm going to give you some examples, a few, that regarding this spill and about the openness of government. And we'll talk about that. And unfortunately, we know now that several men, young men, perished there in the Waikele Caves. And some of you might remember the Waikele Caves. The Waikele Caves, we brought to you that the concerns we had, and it's all on our website at carol@carolcox.com, where this activity is not, it's non-conforming, a great bit of it. Building permits and things of that nature. It should be a park, should be in the open space area, trails and all. It has fallen on deaf ears, that subject. We appeal to David Tenoy to do the right thing of the Department of Planning and Permitting, because we're concerned that when you have a number of businesses that handling chemicals and industrial and on and on and on, and now we'll call them fireworks. And the big question, some of the news accounts, is that it was fireworks that were seized. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful of those that have perished in this, but it's something that our city leaders and our state officials need to take ownership of this issue. Those young men, in my opinion, if this area was properly licensed and properly operated as inconsistent with the laws of this state and the land use ordinances of this state, and as the Department of Planning and Permitting has issued their opinion, that these behaviors and activities in that canyon were not consistent with law. Now, there should have P5s to show who's up there, what's up there, getting permission, but all of that, they've been operating under the radar. And as a result, the worst scenario is that someone could get killed. And unfortunately, that now has been placed on our doorstep. And again, I could say, this is probably some of you will say it's not fair, but with the background and the knowledge that I have about that particular area and have raised it, and Tenoy and the Corporation Council has ignored my letters. They were supposedly was rendering an opinion, and to date, nothing. But now we have five men, human beings, whose lives have been spent. And if any lawyers out there willing to talk to me or get the information that I have, I believe that whoever sees the fireworks is culpable. Whoever rents the is culpable. And I don't know if it was ATF or HPD, whoever it was that sees those, we all, and you now, the taxpayer and myself, we're going to bite the bullet, so to speak, on this one. But again, putting all of that aside, people lost their lives, young men who really won't get a chance to experience what it is that, and some of them might say, well, it was meant that way, but I don't agree. I believe that if our city officials, this occurred on the Hanneman, and you talk about blood money, this company donated money to Abercrombie, that the Fort Island Ventures donated money to Hanneman and other politicians. So this is what we get when we take good money. It's green one day, but it's bloody the next if we keep operating in this fashion. And I hope and pray that the families and the children of these young men are simply treated properly, no politics. The most insulting thing that I believe that anyone could say is that, well, good thing it didn't happen in Mapuna Puna. Well, the bad thing, it happened in Waikele, and it should not have happened because our government sat on its thumbs and did nothing because of politics. And if you were to look at the pictures, I was there yesterday photographing the site. If you look at the pictures there, you'll find that there's not a sign, unless they were removed after the fire or the incident, there's not a sign or anything that identify this bunker as having fireworks or gunpowder or explosives in it. And there are many laws that regulate that. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. I'm just wondering about this whole incident that, you know, there could be negligence on the part of the worker in this case. I don't know too much about it.
Well, what do you know to say the worker? Negligence?
Yeah.
What? So, spit it out.
Maybe, you know, I think around there you shouldn't be smoking and, you know.
Were they smoking?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you know, when someone is not here to defend themselves. But what we do know is that there were explosives there, correct?
Yeah.
So then let's start with that. If the explosives were there, then how do we get past the workers? Then let's start at the company and OSHA and those to ensure that these people are operating so safely so that the supervisors won't allow them to smoke or whatever the case is. But what other theory you want to throw out there?
Well, the theory is that they may not have been smoking in there, but it could have been like smoking outside of the area.
Okay. Do we know that to be fact?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
See, I don't know too much about.
Yeah, could it be that could it be that if the city had said to the company that rents that out, you know, you have to come in compliance with the land use laws, and say to the company that you must file with the fire department and say to the police department or whoever it was, if it was the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms that seized that material. Could it be that the agencies would say to them, if you have this product there, you store it properly because someone might inadvertently drive by because there are other neighboring storage sites and they driving by? What about a car backfire? How many theories do you want to throw out there to Pardon me?
What I'm getting is, you know, I don't know too much about grenades or explosive fire.
Were there grenades in there? Now, speaking of smoking, are you smoking, man? Because you're coming out here with some theories that I...
do you know anything about fireworks?
Do I know anything about fireworks? I know that if they're ignited, they go kaboom.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, I know that when you store them and they degrade, and depending on the weather and what have you, and I know that... but again, do we know this was a demolition, EOD... Unexploded Ordnance Company as well. What about this theory, if you want to be theoretical? Did they have other things other than fireworks in there? You don't know, do you?
All I know is there were fireworks.
But how do you know that? Huh? How do you know that all there was just fireworks?
Well, all the burnt remnants and all the things that was left was mostly all fireworks.
Okay, but what source is that?
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're maybe a couple of feet away from the area, and you know, you might, you know, light a match or smoke, it can ignite the whole air.
Yeah, but what about this? You're the company owner, and you're the company that rents these out, and you declare what you're going to store, and then you declare that you make that declaration in the proper way, and the state and the government and the fire department and everyone says, well, we can't allow that because you got to have certain ventilation and what have you. So let's blame everybody rather than theorizing that one individual may have been smoking, because a car, they have to dry there. If it's that fragile and that volatile, as you describe it, then a simple turning of the ignition, which would be a legal act, nothing nonconforming, and trigger that. It could be as simple as the truck's tire rolls and hits a pothole and sparks, and you got enough gas in the air that boom. So what theories do you want to throw out there? The reality is it should never have been there in that condition, so that you and I would have to sit and theorize. You understand my point?
The thing is, there is people that break the laws and rules, yeah.
So, and there are people that write the laws and don't enforce the laws. Yeah, I mean, let's give these young men some respect. I mean, for you to call up and say, that it may have been, and it may be, but the reality is you're hopping from the first alphabet and hopping down to Z, and you've omitted.
Yeah, well, the thing I brought this theory up is because, first of all, they're young guys, right?
Right. How do you know that?
I read it in the paper.
Okay, they had a bad... The paper said they had a bad upbringing?
Yeah.
So...
They had problems in their life.
So that means they shouldn't have been employed?
I'm not saying that, because of that, there was
right.
negligence. But that kind of brought this into my mind.
Uh-huh.
That,
so you're saying, let me get this right, because I'm enjoying this. I it's rare I get to talk with someone to just lay it out on the line. I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from. And it sounds, if you just read the paper, and have you ever done anything wrong in your life?
Yeah, I did.
So do you have a job?
Yeah.
So if you're driving down the highway and you fail to throw your signal and run over the other lane and causes the death of someone, do you think it would be proper for the newspaper to come back and talk about it and have a person call up on a radio show and say, well, you know, when he was a kid, he used to throw rocks and break the neighbor's windows? Is that relevant?
But you see, things come into your mind when, people have police records and things like that. And
okay.
Doing this type of dangerous job, yeah, and it just comes to my mind that,
yeah.
Well,
I'm just pulling at your strings to see if, but here's the thing. But understand this. Let's just say if they were operating improperly based on their upbringing and their misdeeds that they've done in life, wouldn't you think that the company still has an obligation to monitor these people? Say, okay, now I know you guys were rowdy when you were kids. The records show that. But when you come here, here's what you strict adherence to these policies. No smoking, no this, no that. Wouldn't you think that this company, of all people, knows, or whoever sees the material and whoever is storing it and renting the space, because there are other people, innocent people, that transverse that area, come and go to pick up things in there from their storage? Wouldn't you think that you see the bigger picture?
Yeah, I see what you mean, but you see, is it like a 24-hour watch on these kids?
There should be. And there should be a 20.
I don't know what they're doing.
Well, see, understand something. Let me. I think maybe if we set some ground rules. And first of all, this isn't just a. We're not talking about a dining room table that they would find their way to every morning. These are explosives. And secondly, this is evidence. Seized materials that were seized from someone supposedly that had imported them illegally. So, if it's evidence, then it's still part of a court case, if that, or some kind of a legal action. So, therefore, just young men running around just sitting there willy-nilly, it wouldn't be right anyway, if it's evidence, number one, unless the courts have become so small and so ineffective in neglecting the constitutional rights of the person, of the accused. So, if that was evidence, then it shouldn't be, and the owners shouldn't be allowing just anybody and everybody walk in and out, first of all.
Well, you see, you know, there's also negligence of hiring.
Of who?
The people who hire, you know, a lot of businesses, they hire people. You know, there is not a negligence in hiring people, you know. They just hire who you know, what you know, that kind of stuff.
Right, well.
And
yeah, is that a crime? Are you implying or inferring that there was something wrong with that?
I don't know. I think there's a proper way of hiring people, not just or just your cousin or friend or things like that. And
well, yeah.
A lot of problems with or hiring family members or
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't appreciate anybody theorizing that I did something when I'm not there to speak for myself. But
yeah.
What I was speaking to is that I guess you could call my angle, it wouldn't have happened if we were done the right thing. But it happened because someone did the wrong thing. So, but nonetheless, no matter how we quantified, what is the ultimate price that was paid here?
People did.
Right. So, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, and if you know, I'd be careful what I read in the paper, because that same paper told you, allowed someone to say, well, if it was in Mapunapuna, would it, to you now, you seem to have a different perspective, would it matter if it occurred in Mapunapuna? Yeah, I understand, but the owners said that it was possible. It was a good thing it didn't happen in Mapunapuna. Does that matter?
I mean, are you talking about the incident?
Yeah.
Explosive.
No. I'm talking about the incident. That's what you called up to talk about.
You talking about the accident? If it occurred in Mapunapuna?
Right.
Well, I think that it would have been a bigger disaster, I would say. Mm-hmm. Because Mapunapun is an industrial area, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses around there.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, a lot of people would have been killed.
Mm-hmm. Could have been. But how many people go down in the Waikele area?
Well, you see, I don't know specifically where this...
Well, I do, and you can go to the website and see pictures of it and video, carolcox.com, and you can...
Well, isn't it someplace kind of isolated, Waikele?
Isolated? Bruh, it's open to the public. It's a place where the public can come and rent. You understand?
Okay, I don't know where...
Yeah, and you and I can go down there and rent. You got a lot of money you want to store down there, I'll hold the key for you. We'll rent it, and
I think that, you know, when they find out, when the investigators find out what really happened, I really like to know.
Oh, same boat here. So I appreciate you calling, and anyway, just thought I'd engage you, but it's what others say, too, you know. So anyway, thank you. Aloha. Good morning. Comment or question for Carol?
Yes. Good morning, sir.
Yes.
I'll give you a little bit of information. I used to work on the demolition crew.
Mm-hmm.
I handled dynamite, vacuum caps, a lot. And there was a place that we stored them on this island. You want to guess where it was at?
Why kill it?
No. I'm afraid.
Schofield?
Where the Cottonwood dump is.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Cottonwood dump in there, by the quarry, there's a place over there. It's real, all how we call it, trees and stuff. And there's a dirt road to this, it's about a 30 by 20 foot building, all made out of wood. Everything, the hinges, there's no metal in the place.
Right.
And it has like cases of dynamite and boxes and boxes of blasting caps in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the outside, dynamite, danger, you know what I mean, all the signs over there. But the building is in the middle of nowhere. You would never find it unless you knew exactly where it was at in the Howie Cola tree. And
right.
So, and it was behind lock gates and everything, and kind of way, the nearest house was maybe about 2.5-3 miles away. You know, that was like outside on the outskirts of Kailua, you know, or Kaneohe, you know, where it was. It's in a real isolated place, and it's really hard to find. Okay. The thing is, you can't have any sparks, any lighted anything around that kind of, like the one guy said, the gunpowder's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys seemed like they were treating this thing like it wasn't too, voluble. But they don't realize, boom, and what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no room, like over there, when I worked with the dynamite crew and stuff, there's only one guy that touched the dynamite.
Right.
One guy that touched everything, and that was the guy that ran the, you know, the wire out to the plunger box and everything like that. But this guy that I work with, we would go through them tunnels, the cases of dynamite in there, cases of blasting, you know, boxes of blasting caps. And this guy was the craziest man I ever worked with. He would have, you know, when you cut a piece of dynamite, you know, you don't use a whole stick, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You cut it in little teeny pieces. And then you put a blasting cap there, and it'll explode that piece of dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
But see that extra pieces in the glove box, dynamite. That extra blasting caps underneath the seat, you know, box off. Make sure you get all them out of there, he would tell us today. We got to get all, you'd have to clean out the truck every day. You know what I mean? You wouldn't leave the truck because you'd have to go park our vehicle, our compressor, and everything else that we had back in the yard.
Right.
So we have to take all that stuff back and go every day back to that place over there and put the dynamite away. I mean, we drive around with it all day long, but he would never keep it, you know, someplace where it gets stolen.
But you had
we were liable.
You had oversight, and you had specific buildings, and you didn't want metal hinges because they may create static and ignite. These are the types of things that, as I spoke to earlier, that have augured a long time ago at Waikele, that the type of activities pose a threat to human safety and the environment. And
it doesn't seem right. It would let them put it in a concrete thing like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a wrong place, or it was the cheapest place, or who knows why they put it there, and who knows why they had all them guys there.
Yeah.
How many people do you need looking after evidence? You know, I mean, that's what it was like you said, it's like an evidence room.
Right.
I don't know. There's even so many snafus here. Somebody's going to take a hit on this one. You and five innocent people died for it. You know?
Yes. And
that's the scary part, you know what I mean?
But one thing I can tell you, and I'm not an ordnance specialist, but I've worked around them, and I know there's extreme precautions. The first thing, the ones that I've been around, you never, ever pull a car up to the doorway, right? Because what happened with cars? They backfired, and you rub your hand along the window.
A bunch of holes, 160 holes in a fountain or whatever it is.
Right.
A lot of holes over there. So there's all kind of traffic. There you got, like, you know, thousands of pounds of explosives in reality.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, somebody's going to take all them five guys that got killed are going to sue somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there was neglect, you know, when you're fooling around with that kind of stuff. You know, especially because it's been opened one time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in the original packages anymore. Like the one guy mentioned that the dust and the powder could come out when you got all the packages open. Some of them were open, you know what I mean?
Right.
And maybe some were just laying on the inside there. Who knows what the place looked like inside before it blew up? You know, how they were carrying, conducting business.
Right, but what should happen is that those responsible should tell us up front rather than have us speculating and, like the young man called, and theorizing. So
everybody's going to say something, but the guys that own the place, they should step up, give a diagram of what happened in there, because they know where everything was situated and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to come out, but like I said, I know all about dynamite and all about explosives, and if you're not careful, the worst thing in the world is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You hearing me?
Yeah.
And that's about
okay.
All I have to say. All
righty. Well, thank you.
Talk to you later.
Aloha.
All
righty. Anyway, I'm running the risk of being sounding insensitive to what has occurred. You know, as I said earlier, I don't want to play that role, but I do want to serve as a catalyst to say that if you think that me sitting here talking and complaining, and you see me on TV or writing something about things being broken, or our leaders not following. See, I know from history and my experience that when things around you they're in such disarray, legally and morally and what have you, this is the result, catastrophic results. And so I'm not the little boy yelling wolf. I'm just saying we have some serious problems. But anyway, what I wanted to do is, I said I'd talk about the Waimanala Gulch landfill. And again, hopefully this is a different spin, but again, it talks about government, how our local government agencies are behaving. So what I want to start with is, this is from the spokesperson. This is for the spokesperson for the Department of Health, Janice Okubo, and I want you to follow this. And as you know, they did, and I don't want to sound as if I'm angered by the fact that they wrote a press release to attack me about accuracy, but I want to, as a spinoff of that, share with you how the state government works and how the city works. And it's a collusion. It's a corrupt party, and I don't mean Democratic or Democrat or Republican, but I mean a party. That's all it is, and we are the guys who foot the bill to let them lie. So follow this, if you could. Janice Okubo, the spokesperson for the Department of Health, held over from the Lingle administration, during an investigation, she's writing, during an investigation, the DOH is unable to release related information because it can compromise the proceedings, Okubo wrote. If a potential violator knows what we are looking for, quote, or looking at, they have an advantage and the opportunity to alter evidence. In some instances, these being investigated are not always forthcoming and in providing information and records requested by the department. Now, understand, this was in the Civil Beat, by the way. I want to make sure, give them their plug. This is a response to the Civil Beat and then a Civil Beat article online, civilbeat.com. Now, this is what she is telling a reporter, and this is what she tells me when I call up to, or if she even bothers to talk to me. I'm so low. But what happened is Okubo makes that statement, and as you know, there was a lot of things occurring there at the landfill. We didn't know, and some of you didn't know that the Kahi power plant was actually under threat, and there was just talk about in prepare to evacuate it because the water, the 7.5 million gallons of water that was held up there in that, quote, lake that Gill and Steinberger described, posed a threat of breaking and running down and flooding out and washing major portions of the Kahi power plant. So that would have been a bigger disaster. But anyway, you heard that she was again saying that during the investigation, we're unable to release related information because it can compromise the proceedings, because someone may go and tamper with the evidence or won't be truthful or give us. So the city owns this landfill. So therefore, the city, if there's violations up there, it is the city who has responsibility and the legal responsibility and shares the blame. The operator, Waste Management, is a contractor. So in this case, it would be, we'll just start with the city being the violator, who Okubo is talking about, that possibly may not release information, may hide or do something that's really not above board and interfering with an investigation or lying or altering or modifying the evidence. So now, if the city is the actual owner, here's an email, and I want you to follow this now, from Stuart Yamada to Janice Okubo. Just in case you did not get my email, my voicemail message, I wanted to let you know that we will be working with the city and county of Honolulu to issue a press release. So why, if the city is the violator, why would the state health department be behind the scene working on a press release to release to the public about a threat of that is occurring or about to occur, an incident where the human risk and the environmental concerns and the environment is in danger? So they're going to do a press release jointly with the city and county on the planned discharge of stormwater from the Waimanala Gulch Sanitary Landfill, when they knew that there were already violations, that the city had violated the law. Due to the heavy rains over the past, there is much stormwater on top of the landfill that normal operations have been halted, and they must be pumping the water possibly for as long as 7 days. Now, follow this. Gary Gill wants to make sure that the city and county and DOH, Department of Health, are saying the same things with this press release. We will be routing the drafts as they are generated. So another one goes to Marcus Owens at the City and County of Honolulu, spokesperson for the Environmental Services, from Watson Okubo of the Department of Health. Marcus, yes, near the end, Gary told Mike to draft something out, and we would look at it and then send to you. Main thing, we agree and talk the same story. Why would the government need to sit and debate to talk the same story? These are emails, by the way, that I received under the Uniform Information Practices Act, a request. Marcus writes back, Watson, just making sure that we heard that was that DOH would be initiating the press release and sending it on to Manny, and that will be going out today. Now, Manny is the deputy director. So this is what we get. So the press release goes out. And it says the Waimanalo, this is what they're drafting. The Waimanalo Gulch sanitary landfill is planning to discharge a large volume of possibly contaminated stormwater. Now, they knew that the water had set, some 7.5 million gallons had set, mixed in trash and blood, guts, and, oh, I'm sorry, sanitized waste, medical waste. They knew that. But in their writings, they say possibly contaminated stormwater, but they know the stormwater comes out of the trash. So this is just an example. While declaring that something may be illegal or something may be difficult and we have to be careful, they're sitting and writing and orchestrating press releases with the person that violates the law. So now you understand when you write or if you make a request for documents, well, it's on investigation. We can't talk about it right now. What they're really saying to you is that we are sorry, can't release anything to you because we want to keep the public dumber than ever. And so therefore, ourselves, the EPA and DOH and City and County of Honolulu and others who violated the law, we got to put a good face on it, a good spin, as Gary Gill said. We want to talk the same issues. At this point, probably would be best for you to do it, as I have yet to hear from Janice. This has been written to Marcus. Watson is correct. Gary's concern was that everyone be agreement as to what the release says and not who issues it. So why is the director or deputy director of the Department of Health telling his staff that work with the city and county of Honolulu so we could tell the same story? There shouldn't have to be any debate of that. If you're going to talk about the facts, guess what? You just tell them, write down what occurred and your portion of the thing and send it. If you lie to us, we're the regulators. We're going to prosecute you. So what you probably didn't know either is that, you see, Tim Steinberg, the director of this environmental services in the city, Tim Steinberg said that when the city was told to put up signs that this material was running out in the ocean, Tim Steinberg on January 12th wrote a letter, 2011, saying the city contends that such signage is not required by law. Now, why would we be entertaining anyone that is worried about what the law says when there's public health issues, when there's blood and needles and syringes and vials and samples and what have you that is flowing out into the ocean on our beaches? And you have the, and right here in this letter, folks, from Tim Steinberg to Gary Gill, that they're arguing that they're not required to put signage up telling the public that there's blood and tissues and needles flowing out of the landfill. You see, this is why I don't trust the politicians, even those that tell us to, you can trust me. And that is, when you have this kind of behavior going on behind the scenes, and they purposely release it because they've orchestrated, and here are the documents right here that tells you, if Gary Gill is the head of the department that regulates and enforces the law that the city and county should be complying with, then why on earth is the city and county working with Gary Gill to do a press release to put a good spin on it and talk the same story? Now, there was questions about how much medical waste, and they scratched their heads. They didn't really know if they had medical waste. But let me tell you, there's an annual report that is filed with the state, that waste management files with the city and the state. And their reports show that in 2009, 930 tons of treated medical waste went to the landfill. Now, that's not, they don't regulate hospitals and what have you. So the medical waste accepted was syringes, needles, and bandages and plastic tubings. But there were blood vials, and you don't see that. And the landfill can take in any kind of treated infectious waste, believe it or not, as long as it's not a regulated hazard waste or bulk liquid, they say. Now, in fiscal year 2010, so this is related to this incident, or these recent incidents, Waste Management Hawaii reported that it accepted 972 tons of treated medical waste. So why on earth was Tim Steinberg taking issue with the state, and why did the state tolerate it when they refused to put signs up? Well, the signs eventually went up. Now, if we turn another page, we'd find the same thing behind the scenes occurring with the EPA. I'm not too overly bothered by the teabaggers asking for a reduction in government, really. I'm not. I think when you have this kind of nonsense going on, I think we could do without any of them, because all we're getting is lies anyway, and they're telling the same story. So why are we paying this? Now, I'm not advocating for teabaggers, but what is happening here, folks, we need to start cutting out the fat and cutting out the fat liars, because this is our safety in hand. And in closing on this one, I'm going to have we're going to talk about slaughterhouse and other things with some of the guests coming in. CEO of Mark Ferguson, Chief Vegetarian Officer, CEO of Down to Earth, Dr. Bill Harris, and Ms. Kathy Gogel. We're going to be talking about the intent to appropriate funds, some $1.6 million for the slaughterhouse out in Eva, but we'll talk about that. But for you out there, here's what I want you to know, that if you were to want information, the Hawaii Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act is required. It's called HEPCRA. And what you do, you just follow with the state and ask them what releases and what chemicals are found at the landfill or other facilities. So the Hawaii Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know, there is a law that tells you that you have to know that. So anyway, I'm going to see you in the next hour. Hopefully you can join in, and I'll be right back.
Leave the bad things.